Hi everyone, Bob Brubaker here. Well, you know who I am. I'm the pastor of Christ Community Presbyterian Church. Hello, church family, and welcome to a little message here that is part of our Sunday morning at-home worship time. We're calling this a message, not a sermon, because sermons are with people and present, and we're praying and serving God. Anyway, this is a message. A message from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. I have to say that I must know this message pretty well because this is take number 4. I have recorded this thing 3 times prior to this and had mistake after mistake. Mistake like the first time I recorded, I had a microphone that I thought would work and it didn't work. The second time I recorded it and for some reason the Zoom zoomed in while I was preaching and ended up focusing in on my tie about halfway through. It didn't look good at all. And the third time I recorded, I thought it said recorded, but it didn't hold it on the chip inside the camera. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know what I'm doing. But I do know this, that I want to bring you a message of hope and encouragement. I'm calling this message, No Need to Worry. If you find yourself worrying through this time of the COVID-19, I know we all are because we get news reports that tell us to worry and make us feel bad. And sometimes when we think about it, especially when we go to the store and we find there's no toilet paper or there's no meat or there are other shelves are just bare, and you think, what is going to happen to me? And we begin to worry. So let's look at something that will keep us from worrying. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. Before I read the scriptures and talk about it, let's look to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We pray that the word of God, the authority of the Word of God would take hold of our minds and our hearts, that we would bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and find ourselves following the Lord Jesus Christ's instruction to pray instead of worrying and to look to you and to seek first the kingdom of God. Have mercy upon us, O God, as we pray to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as I normally do, I'll give you a little bit of an outline before I read the scripture from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. But the first thing we'll look at is this question, whom do you serve, as we look at verse 24. The second thing we're going to look at, why do you worry, verses 25 through 32. And then the question, what should we do? And that's verses 33 through 34. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. Hear the word of God. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's look at this first point. Whom do you serve? When you're facing doubts, discouragement, and worry, it should prompt a question. Whom do you serve? That's what Jesus says. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It also says, translated mammon, which means all of your possessions. Well, first of all, he says is you can put it on two planes. Either you're serving God, that we would call the rock, or you serve money or things, we'll call that sand. First of all, consider God as the rock. Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the Rock, and his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, and a God of faithfulness without iniquity, and just and upright is he. Psalm 18, David says, who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? He goes on to say in verse 46, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, exalted be the God of my salvation. Psalm 61, from the end of the earth I can call to you when my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Or Psalm 62, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be greatly shaken. Okay, whom do you serve? Do you serve God? God is your rock. He's stability in life. He's strength in life. He's a fortress, a protection. He is the rock. Now, on the other hand, are you serving money or possessions? Is that your hope? Is that where your attention is going? Well, money, it says, whoever trusts in riches in the book of Proverbs will fall, but the righteous shall flourish like a green leaf. He says money is like this thing. It says when your eyes are on it, it's gone. There it is, gone. Ecclesiastes says, sweet is the sleep of a laborer, but whether he eats little or much, but he has a full stomach of the rich, won't let him sleep. There you go. Money and riches and stuff makes you worry a lot. Stop a minute. Jesus, when he concluded the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded upon the rock. He who hears his word and does it, whom do you serve? Now, on the other hand, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Built on the sand. Things. Here today, gone tomorrow. Whom do you serve? All right, before we talk about worry and what he says about worry, the first question he says is, when we are tempted to worry, have circumstances which call for us to worry, we need to ask the question, whom do we serve? The next question is, why do we worry anyway? Verses 25 through 32. We'll notice in verse 25, it says, therefore I tell you to be not anxious. Don't worry, he says, what you'll eat or what you'll drink about your body or what you put on. Is not life more than that? Your body's more than clothing. Okay, right now we have these struggles because we wonder, is the virus going to get us? We wonder, are we going to be able to buy toilet paper at Publix or Costco or anything else? We worry about a lot of things. Wait a minute, Jesus says. Isn't your life more than that? Of course it is. Colossians says our life is hid with Christ in God. Okay. He's the hope of eternal life. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, let's stop and think about this. Secondly, he says in verses 26 and 27, take a look at the birds. Notice he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? Every morning I get up kind of early, and every morning the mockingbirds in our area are out before the crack of dawn. Even before I get up, they're out there singing. Why? Because God feeds them. Next time you have a temptation to worry, even through this time of the coronavirus, stop and think about it. Go outside and listen to the birds. Watch the birds. What they're saying to you, from Jesus' words, God feeds them, and you're of much more importance to God than they are. After all, God has redeemed you with the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, as he says in the book of Romans chapter 8, he who did not spare his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Next, he says, look at the flowers. He goes on to say in verse 28, he says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wow. Next time you're tempted to worry, just walk outside and look at the flowers. By the way, did you see those wonderful orchids that Jan had on display in one of our pastor chat updates this past week? I think there were eight blooms on that stalk that she cut off, and each one was about the size of my hand. I mean, it was wonderful. Just look at the intricate detail of each flower. Stop and think about it. Even the dandelions or the wildflowers that grow are a display of God's beauty and His grace. And He says, wait a minute. That stuff's here today and it's gone tomorrow. But you're of greater value to God. Won't He take care of you? So view the birds of the air, the flowers on the land. Know that God takes care of us. So notice He repeats the command in verses 31 and 32 when he says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Don't be anxious. That's Jesus saying, do not worry. And then He says, by the way, the Gentiles seek after these things. They worry. Gentiles equal to unbelievers. The world around us worries. The newscasts make us worry. They talk about worry, how people are worried. Wait a minute. God's people are taken care of by God. They know whom they can trust. The rock. That's who they serve. We need not worry. Third point is, what shall we do? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. As I thought about how does that play out, I came across some verses in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 20 and 21. Listen to how this applies to our situation today with a worldwide pandemic. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the fury has passed by. For behold, the Lord is coming out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will disclose the bloodshed on it and will no more cover its slain. Okay, God's people were living through a difficult time in Isaiah. It seemed to be a worldwide judgment of God. Does it sound familiar? God is judging all over the earth. Now, wait a minute. When we are there, we have to say, well, what is God teaching us? And what does God say? He says, come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you and hide yourselves for a little while until the fury has passed by. Well, the government, our local government, the local government here in Pinellas County has said, take cover, shelter down, go into your house, okay? And God says, that's a good thing to do. And while you're there, come, my people, come. God says, come to Him. Deuteronomy says, you'll find Him when you search for Him after all with all of your heart. Psalm 34 says, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Hosea says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Fallow ground is when things get tough and hard in our lives and we need to break it up and come back to the Lord. Acts chapter 17, even the pagans were told by the Apostle Paul as he preached to them that they should seek after God if God indeed has placed within them to feel after Him. In other words, God has prompted a stirring in your heart. Well, hopefully during this pandemic, many people's hearts will be stirred to realize how short life is and they need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be ready to preach and share the gospel. James chapter 4 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Notice it says, enter your chambers and shut the doors behind you. That's a prayer time. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, He begins there and talks about the hypocrites, the religious leaders of the day that would stand on the street corners and in the synagogues to pray long prayers so that people would see them. And He says, you know, they have their reward. People have seen them, and they are counted as the religious people. He said, you go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father. Your Father, as Jesus said, we pray to our Father which art in heaven. God is our Father. He's adopted us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and without blame before Him. And in love, He predestinated us to be the adopted children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the honor of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. Well, we are a good place. Not only that, but He has redeemed us by Jesus Christ. And not only that, He has given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry to Him, Abba, Father. Wow. Our Father. Notice it says, Jesus says, go into your chamber. Here it says, go into your chamber and shut the doors behind you. Is there an example? David in the Old Testament, told not to pray. What does he do? He goes home, shuts the door, and prays to God. You can't stop him. There's an example of an Old Testament king by the name of Hezekiah. He received a letter from the hand of the messengers from Syria that said they were going to come and get him and take over the country. And so Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord, closed the door, probably, and spread out that letter before God and prayed to him, and God heard his cry. Shut the door behind. What's that have to do? Cut it off. We listen to the news reports. We get concerned. We talk to people who are talking about the lines. The lines at Publix, the lines at Costco, and you go through the aisles and there's nothing there. And people go on and on, and it gets dreary, doesn't it? Shut the door. Talk to someone who can do something about it. Shutting the door, we just can't stop thinking about things, but what we can do is substitute. Philippians chapter 4, we talked about that several weeks ago. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. I think a good example is in Psalm 1 when he says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates, when? Day and night. Substitute. Shut the door. Notice the promise. He says, all these things will be added to you. Now, when we talk about that, consider what he's done in the past. That's gratitude. That's why 1 Thessalonians says we're to rejoice always and pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. That's why Philippians chapter 4 says, to instead of being anxious or prayer or being worried, being full of worry or anxious, we should pray about everything with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Gratitude for God, gratitude for his word, gratitude for his help, for his counsel, gratitude for his promises, for his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, gratitude for what he has done for you and others in the past, gratitude for his faithfulness. Even as we read his word, we see his faithfulness that he says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We need hope during this time. Read the word of God. Isn't it interesting how we read in the book of 2 Kings those words of what God is doing to establish his kingdom and keep it pure? Isn't it interesting that we can read that and know that God is still in control? Also, to keep in mind, what we have today is better than what we deserve. Lamentations chapter 3, as he was complaining, Jeremiah, he says he remembered his affliction, his wanderings, his wormwood in the gall. He says, my soul continues remembers and is shunned. Bowed down within me, but this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, but they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Gratitude. Okay. Seek first the kingdom of God. Shut the door. Go into your chambers. Pray to God. Shut the door. Get out of those things. Substitute with things of God, knowing that he's promised to take care of our needs. He's faithful. He will never let you down. Our God is faithful. And the final word is, the reason is, do not be anxious. Don't pray. Don't worry. Excuse me. Don't worry about anything. And don't worry about tomorrow. He said there's going to be enough to worry about tomorrow. Instead of worrying, pray. Okay, go back to what God has said. Whom are you serving? Why? What good is worry anyway? What should you do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. A word of hope and encouragement for this time in which everybody says, worry, 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 worry. No, no, no. We need God. We need his word. And that's why we're encouraging you to encourage one another, even the more, as we can't meet together regularly, that you would take up the banner and encourage others in our flock. To keep holding on, keep pressing on, keep looking to God, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. May God bless you. Lord, we thank you for this word today. We pray that you would use it in our hearts to bring glory to your name as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.